Whoa. Well, welcome to LifeGate. It's a little different here. I tell them to behave themselves. They don't listen to me. Oh, I know. My Redeemer liveth. Yeah. I know. I need a battery. I'm charged. I don't need no battery. I'm cooking this morning. Welcome to LifeGate. Man, we're glad you're here. I hope you're glad you're here. This is great this morning. I'm so thrilled that you're here. If this is your first time, we really want to welcome you. We're so thrilled that you come to be with us today and hope you're having a good time. Things are a little bit different here, and we do things a little bit strange sometimes, but I promise you, we're okay. We're okay, and we just love Jesus. We're excited about Jesus. Amen. We love it, especially today. Oh, man, today made everything else right. Today just makes everything else right, and we're just thrilled that you're here and want you to come back again and again and again and just be a part of the LifeGate family. We just love you. Well, you know, like I said, I try to make them behave, but they're excited because they love Jesus, and that's what I want to talk about today. That's the title of my message, The Excitement of Christianity. The Excitement of Christianity. Christianity should be exciting. That's right. We don't serve a dead Savior. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. You know, go help me. I'm not going to sing it by myself. Excitement of Christianity. Oh, it should be good. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. And also look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 8. I'll be there. In fact, you just turn wherever you want to. I'm going to preach the whole Bible today. So you just turn where. I'll get there in a little while. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for today, Resurrection Day. Resurrection Sunday, today that makes our life worth living. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father God, for the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and dwelling within us. Oh, letting us be the temple of the Holy Ghost and allowing you to come forth through us. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray now as we look into your word that it is so meaningful that we realize how precious today is and how exciting Christianity is. I want you to bless us, Father. I pray for the people that they'll be able to hear what the Spirit has to say. And you'll bless me, Lord, to say only what you want said. So, Father, we ask you to be with us now. In Jesus' name, everybody says hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Well, we are here today. We're celebrating an event that actually happened right at 2,000 years ago. It's amazing, isn't it, when you think about it, that 2,000 years ago, something happened that we continue to celebrate today. That's amazing. I mean, just thinking about that, that means it had to be something pretty powerful, right? Had to be something pretty special. Had to be something that must be proven over and over and over again to have been correct and really to have happened. And that's what we're celebrating here today. We're celebrating Resurrection Day. It's not about Easter bunnies and eggs and chickens. That's not what it's about. Now, that's okay. You do that. I mean, we'll go home, we'll hide eggs this afternoon. My little grandkids will go out in the backyard and find them. So don't get me wrong. But that's not what today's about. Today's about Resurrection Day. Today's about the day that makes everything else the Bible says meaningful. See, if it wasn't for this day, the rest of it would be worthless. If it wasn't for this day, the crucifixion would have meant nothing. Right? Just been a good man that was died on a tree. You know, that's all that would have been. Makes the manger scene mean something. It's meaningful. You know, it makes that baby they came, those magi came to worship in that manger. That makes it mean something that they did that. It makes all the Bible, all the things that the prophet says, it makes all the promises that God said to you, yes and amen. Everything that God has promised you to have an abundant life and fulfill your purpose in life and to give you a dream, it all becomes meaningful because of what we're celebrating today. It even goes all the way back to all the things the prophets have said, everything the Bible talks about, all the way back to Adam, all the way back to Eve, where in that garden, God told that serpent, there's going to be a seed that's going to come from this woman. And he's going to crush your head. This is what we're celebrating today because that's the day that it happened. 2,000 years ago, the serpent's head was crushed about what we're celebrating and what we're talking about and what we're getting into today. Today is the day that makes your life mean something. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it means something inside of you wants to come forth with an enthusiasm and worship Him. It's the day that makes what we believe meaningful and really the truth. It's not worthless. What we believe is not worthless. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14, and it says, "And if he is still dead, then all our preaching is useless, and your trust in God is empty, worthless, hopeless." But he's not dead. All right? He's not dead. And what we believe is not worthless and hopeless. See, I come in here every Sunday and I tell you all the things that God wants to do in your life. I tell you He wants to give you an abundant life. I tell you He has a plan and a purpose for you. I tell you that He wants to heal you, fill you. I tell you that He wants your children blessed and your home blessed, and He wants you to be the head and not the tail and the top and not the bottom. I tell you every week what God wants to do in your life. And you know, the reason that I can tell you that with assurance, and the assurance that I tell you with it every week, is because of today. Because of what today represents. That day 2,000 years ago that we're celebrating today makes what I say every day mean something. The preaching is not useless. Right? Your life is not worthless. What you believe is real because Jesus is Lord of life. He is the Lord of life, and He came that you can have a life and that more abundantly. And it should be an exciting life that we live with enthusiasm. If we're not having an enthusiastic life, then something's wrong. We're missing an important ingredient in what God wants us to enjoy life, the time span that we have here. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, it says this in verse 11. He says, "Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically." Amen. Serve Him. In other words, your walk with God should be with enthusiasm. He wants us to be enthusiastic. See, that's the thing that separates what we believe from all the other religions. All the other religions don't have anything to be excited about. I mean, Buddha's dead. Come on. Right. Who's going to get excited about a dead guy? Come on. Mohammed is dead. Even Judaism is still waiting on their Christ. They can't get excited. What can they get excited about? They're still waiting. But we can be excited and serve God with enthusiasm. You see, where it's never supposed to be a dead, dull thing. My God's not dull. My God's not dead. My leader's not dull. My Jesus lives. Amen. And this is a great day. This is the day the Lord's made. We are rejoicing and we're going to be glad in it. God likes His children to be enthusiastic and excited about life. He's always been that way. He's always made life exciting. God has always made it like that. You know, I remember the Red Sea. You know, I think about that. You know, when the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, they were following that cloud and they came up to the Red Sea. God led them. You know, sometimes it's like that. You're following God. You're doing the best you can. All of a sudden, you come to a dead end, it appears. And then here comes Pharaoh's army behind you. And it seems like you're going to get wiped out. But all of a sudden, the Lord will move in your life. And He'll open a way where there was no way. And provide for you a dry way of crossing and going across. You know, that happens. Has that ever happened, something like that in your life?
Yeah.
Sure. Seems like we're at a dead end. There's no other place to go. And all of a sudden, God makes a way where there was no way. I remember in our ministry years and years ago, it seemed like we were there. We were at a Red Sea. And there was no place to go. Pharaoh was coming. And we were about dead. And all of a sudden, God opened a way where there was no way. And we went across. We went across to a supernatural existence. We went across the way to where God opens heaven and pours out manna so that we can supernaturally survive. He gives water from a rock. You see, that's what God wants to do if we'll just maintain our enthusiasm. When that happened to the children of Israel, that's exactly what they did. They went across and they got enthusiastic. Moses started singing. Miriam started singing, got out the tambourines. And all the ladies started hopping and hooping all over the place because they were enthusiastic about their God. Here's what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20. "Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing." Now that's not dead religion there. Come on. That's exciting. "Miriam saying to them, 'Sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted, the horse and the rider He has hurled into the sea.'" See, God loves His children to be enthusiastic and excited about Him and about what He's doing in our lives. So when you have an experience where God does something mighty in your life, heals you, fills you, delivers you, whatever it may be, then get excited about it because God's moving in your life. And it is a time to express to other people what God and a great God we serve. God loves us and He wants us to be excited about what He's doing. What an exciting day that would have been to see the sea open. Can you imagine? Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 66. It says, "He made a dry road through the sea for them. and went across on foot. What excitement and joy there was that day. Now see, serving God should be exciting and full of joy. Serving God should be a place where we can come and smile and laugh and enjoy ourselves and have a good time. Listen, when you go to Muhammad's tomb, you got to be quiet because he's sleeping. Buddha is sleeping. Shh. But there ain't nobody at Jesus' tomb. You can holler and yell and clap and do whatever you want to do because he wants you excited about serving him. We serve a risen Savior. So God's always doing exciting things to the lives of people. Think of any Bible character you want to, any single one of them, and you'll find excitement. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Gideon, Samson. Name one, and you'll find every time you turn the pages, there's something exciting happening. God is the God of excitement, and He wants us to be excited. Every time you turn a page in your life, it should be exciting. Every day is a new day with God. I mean, even the begots are exciting to those that were beginning, right? Now, they're not for us, because we're not beginning. But to them, it was exciting. So every page of the Bible is full of these amazing events that God was doing just to make life exciting for His children. Several hundred years after the Red Sea experience, God ordained and anointed a man named David to be king. Now, David was an exciting person. David kept things going on. He had this passionate love for God. The Bible speaks of David and it says that David was a man after God's own heart. In other words, he made God's heart happy. God liked David a lot. And you know, and then one of the things that David did to make God's heart happy and to be a man after God's own heart was that David was always into something. He was always making things exciting. And David could kill giants and Philistines, you know, he could do all those things. But what David wanted to make exciting, because it wasn't then, but what David wanted to make exciting was worship and praise. David wanted people to get excited about their God. And so what he wanted to do was bring the presence of God into his city, Jerusalem. See, that's what we're wanting to do right here. We're wanting to bring the presence of God in an exciting way into this entire region. We're just not interested in Lafayette or Ringgold or Rock Springs or Chickamauga. We're with this whole region excited about Jesus, right? And so what David wanted to do was bring the excitement to Jerusalem. So he had a plan. And the plan was this. He was going to go get the Ark of the Covenant. Now, 40 years before David became king, the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines and wasn't in the tabernacle like it normally would have been. So 40 years, the presence of God in the Ark of Ark of the Covenant was this gorgeous thing. It was made of gold and it had the cherubims on the top of it and the mercy seat. And it spoke of the love of God, the mercy of God. It spoke of the ways of God. And it was just a gorgeous, lovely thing. Gold engraved. It was magnificent. But it wasn't with the people of God. And so David said, I'm going to go get that thing. I'm going to bring it back. And I'm going to make a tabernacle. And I'm going to put the presence of God right here where everybody can enjoy it. I'm not going to stick it in the back of a tabernacle where no one can enjoy it and no one can ever see it. I'm going to put it right here so that everybody can come and everybody can get excited about praise and worship. Now, David wasn't the normal guy, you know. David liked loud instruments. He liked loud music. He liked dancing. He liked tambourines and drums. Man, I would just imagine what kind of a speaker system he would have had. I mean, can you imagine what this guy would have had he had the equipment? So, man, I'm just saying, man, we should really pump it up, you know? But anyway, David didn't want to just sing the traditional hymns. He wanted to write his own stuff. He wanted to write his own music and his own songs so he could express to everybody what God was doing in his life. Kind of like we do around here. You know, we want everybody to know what God's doing in our life. And so it's interesting when you look at David's life and how things were going on in David's life. And he went to get that ark. And he went and got it and he brought it back. And he got to the gates of Jerusalem. And at the gates of Jerusalem, he did the most interesting thing. He took off his king crown. He took off his kingly robe. And there he was in a linen ephod. He had taken off all of these things that separated him from everybody else. They opened those gates. David brought that ark in with running and leaping and dancing and praising. Let me read you the verse that talks about that in the book of 2 Samuel. Chapter 6 and verse 14 says, David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all of his might. How did he do it? What does that mean? Now, I get excited. I mean, you know, but what does all of your might mean? Huh? I mean, that's giving it everything you got, right? This is what David was doing coming down Main Street. He was dancing and praising God with all of his might, and he was so contagious. The Bible says that while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. You see, sometimes what we've got to do to maintain our enthusiasm and excitement is we've got to take off all that stuff that we think separates us from everybody else. We've got to take off all that stuff that we think makes us special and just start worshiping God and praising God and having a relationship with God and getting excited and enthusiastic about God. And if we'll do that, God will do mighty things in our lives. There was never a nation more blessed than that nation. There was never a man more blessed than that man. You see, when we start getting enthusiastic about God, God starts doing mighty things in our lives. And I want to tell you today, get excited about God. I want to encourage you today to be excited because, you know, this is the beauty, this is the excitement of Christianity, because we don't have to go to a temple anymore and worship, because you are the temple. That ark's not stuck back there in the back of a hole or even in a tabernacle. You know where that ark is today? It's in your heart. You serve a living Savior. You are the temple of God. And so when that thing uncovers and you want to worship and praise Him, get excited about Him. That's what He wants to do. So David showed everybody that God loves excitement. God loves exciting praise. And God loves exciting worship. And He wants to worship. He thought stuff like this. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let him praise Him with the high-sounding cymbals. Let him praise Him with a dance. Let's praise Him. Any way you can, let's praise Him. That's how David taught people to praise God, because he was exciting and he was a man after God's own heart. He made God's heart happy. All the way through the Old Testament, you find all these wonderful things, exciting things that God did with His people all the time. You know, but the most exciting thing, or one of the most exciting things, I think the second most exciting thing that God ever did was He brought His Son, Jesus Christ, to earth. Now that's exciting. Because the Bible says that the Son was just like His daddy. Jesus said it this way. He says, if you see Me do things, that's just like seeing the Father do things. If you hear Me say things, that's just like hearing My Father say things. Now, Jesus was a cool dude. I mean, He was fun. Sinners enjoyed being around Jesus. People far from God. He made parties fun. He made life fun. There was always something happening around Him. Whatever He was involved in became exciting. One day He was ministering and they began bringing all these sick people to Him. Maimed people, blind people, deaf people. They started bringing all of these people, people that were depressed, oppressed, possessed. They started bringing all of these people to Him. And the Bible says He healed them all. He healed them all. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 30. It says, and a vast crowd brought Him their lame, blind, maimed, and those who couldn't speak, and many others, and laid them before Jesus, and He healed them all. What a spectacle it was. Those who hadn't been able to say a word before were talking excitedly, and those with missing arms and legs had new ones. The crippled were walking and jumping around, and those who had been blind were gazing about them. The crowds just marveled and praised the God of Israel. How many of you have ever had something like that happen in your life? You know, God healed you, or maybe you were praying for somebody and He healed them, or maybe you were praying for a child or your children or something and God did a miracle and He healed them. Or maybe a friend or somebody else you had pray for someone and they were healed. How many has ever had something like that happen in your life? Look at this. This is amazing. See, it's like this every time, every single time I ask that question. See, that is the excitement of Christianity. Christianity continues to work today just like it worked 2,000 years ago. We're celebrating today because it keeps working today. Right? Just like it worked then, it's working now. And He's interested in your body and in your soul and in your spirit today just as much as He would have been then. He loves us and He wants to take care of us. He's interested in your spirit and your soul and your body. He wants to give you limbs so that you can run after your dream. And you can reach for your dream. He wants to give you eyes so that you can look into your own future. And you can see a vision for your own life. He wants to give you ears so that you can hear in the supernatural dimensions of what you should or what you shouldn't do. See, God is extremely excited about you. And He wants you to be excited about Him. And living in a Christian lifestyle is fun. It's not boring. It's a great thing to do. It's an exciting thing to do. One day, Jesus was preaching, and He went to church, and a demon went to church too. The same church that Jesus was at. Imagine that. And Jesus was ministering, and I've seen that. That's happened before. It still happens today. All of that stuff still happens today. And the demon just hollered out while Jesus was preaching, and Jesus didn't give him a microphone or ask him his name or nothing. You know, he didn't make a spectacle of the guy. He just rebuked him and cast the devil out of him. Interesting, huh? He cast the devil out of the guy. And then this created this excitement. Here's what the Bible says in Mark chapter 1 and verse 27. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began discussing what had happened. What sort of new religion is this? They asked excitedly. Why even evil spirits obey His orders? How about someone you know? How about someone you know? Do you know someone that's addicted? Maybe addicted to drugs or addicted to pornography. There's something going on in their life. Addicted to alcohol. Do you know anybody like that? Maybe someone you know has anger problems. Well, see, this is what makes Christianity exciting. Because God will still deliver them today. Just like He delivered them then. You can rebuke that thing and cast that thing out and live a life of excitement and abundance. You see, that's what makes Christianity exciting, is it still works. It's still just as valid today. That's why we serve a risen Savior, right? That's why we know that He's living, because He's in our hearts. We know that this thing really works. That's why we know what we believe is not worthless. What we live, what we believe in, what we talk about and what we preach about and how we live our lives is worth something. It's worth everything. God loves us and He wants to take care of us. Christianity is exciting. One day Jesus was walking along and He was on His way to Jerusalem. And He was passing through Jericho. And He just walked along and there's the disciples and there's a crowd. There's always a crowd around Jesus. He was fun. And so He looks up in a tree. And there's a guy up in a tree. Looking at Jesus. You know what He did? You know what Jesus did? He just stops and starts talking to this guy in the tree. And He's having a guy, his name is Zacchaeus, and He's having a conversation with Zacchaeus up in this tree. Now, here's my point. It's sometimes when Jesus passes by, we're up a tree or up a creek. But you know what? He'll stop and He'll talk to you. And He'll have a conversation with you right where you are. I don't know where you are today. Up a tree? Up a creek? In a hole? But I know one thing. I know Jesus is passing by today. And I know He'll stop and He'll talk to you. And He'll invite you to come down from that tree. Down, get out, whatever you're in. Up a tree, up a creek, whatever. In a hole. He'll invite you to come with Him because He wants to go to your house today. This is what He said to Zacchaeus, and the Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 6, it says, Zacchaeus hurriedly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. See, Jesus will make your life exciting. All you got to do is come out of the tree. All you got to do is take Him home with you. He wants to do life with you. He wants to make your life good. He wants to make your life abundant. He wants to make your life exciting. He's inviting you. Come on down. Come on down and go with me. Let me go to your house with you. Let me do life with you. Let me make life good for you and exciting for you. And He will. And you can live the rest of your days in an excited way with Jesus Christ. What do you think about church? Should church be exciting?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, it's sad that a lot of people don't think it should be. I'm kind of like David myself. Psalms 122:1 says this, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house. Have you noticed my new pictures on this? Yeah. You like that? Okay. I got a really good one coming up in a minute. But Jesus said, David said, I rejoice because church to him was fun. David would go and he would make sure that church was fun. You know, he would have singers or dancers or whatever that needed to be there, but he was going to make sure that people had fun when they came to church. They would rejoice together. I think church should be fun. Tell you a story. A woman brought a child, a three-year-old son, to church, and they had pews. And so the child was standing up backwards in the pew, you know, looking to the people behind him. And he was grinning and smiling. You've seen that child? I think we have several of those. But he was smiling at them and people behind him and grinning. He wasn't causing a disturbance. He wasn't doing anything out of the way. He wasn't rattling papers or crying or messing anything up. He was just grinning at people behind him. Well, his mother grabs him and whirls him around and pushes him down into the seat and says, "You stop grinning in church. Don't you know you're in church? You're not supposed to smile." And then she whacks him on his leg. And he starts crying. And she says, "That's better." Isn't that sad? That is the idea that most people think that church is supposed to... No! No! You won't bother the Lord if you're hollering. He wants you to shout. He wants you to get tambourine. He wants you to have a good time. He wants this. God is fun. God is excited. He wants you to be excited. Jesus is excited. He wants you to be excited. You see, church is not boring. It's not boring. In fact, I've learned that being away from God is more boring than being close to God and coming to church. This is one of the most fun places I go. I go to lots of places. But man, I'm looking forward. I'm rejoicing when they say, "It's Sunday. We're going to have fun," because I know we are. Something is going to happen. And you know it. If you know it, well, I knew I'd miss something. You'll always miss something if you don't come here. Yeah. Because it's going to be fun. Let me read you a scripture. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider gets bored with himself. The godly man's life is exciting. Hallelujah. See, being a Christ follower was never intended to be boring. Now, religion is boring. I'll give you that. But that's not being what God wants us to be. God wants it to be exciting. There's an excitement in Christianity. There's an excitement that He wants us to experience every time we come together. He wants to bless your life. He wants you to be excited about Him, about serving Him. He wants you to be excited about the things of God and the people of God. He's an exciting guy. It's never intended to be boring. Jesus says when you come into the kingdom, when you find the kingdom, your life becomes exciting. Here's what He said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. You like that one? It's exciting! I'm telling you! Hey, I catch fish and I catch people. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field and to get the treasure too. Listen, you can buy the field and have what you want to. When you come to Jesus, you have a great life and you have what you want and life is good. You're serving God. Oh man, you feel good. You feel good about yourself. You feel good about what God does in you. You feel better about you sleep well most of the time. You know, things are good when you're a Christian. It's not meant to be boring. Now, see, life is exciting. But of all the exciting things that God ever did in the Old Testament and the New Testament, I think there's one thing that outshines them all. I think there was one time when God really showed off. I think it was one time when He outdid Himself. And that was when He raised Jesus from the dead. That's the most exciting event that the Bible talks about. You see, it makes everything else meaningful. What happened, as you know, and you know the story, but Jesus had been arrested on Friday night Friday morning, and he had been taken, and he had been embarrassed, he had been ridiculed, he had been beaten, he had been mocked, he had been lied about, he'd been turned over to Pilate. Pilate had him scourged, you know the story, beaten unmercifully. Then they carried him, and he carried the cross to Gethsemane. Excuse me. He carried the cross to Golgotha, and there he went, and they crucified him. And there he died on that tree. And they stuck a spear in him just to make certain he was dead. And they took him and they put him in a tomb. And they sealed that tomb with a big stone. 3 days passed. Mary and Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to see about Jesus. And as they got there, an earthquake happened. An earthquake took place. And an angel came. The earthquake didn't move the stone. The angel came, just walked right up to where Mary and Mary were standing and rolled the stone away and then sat on the stone. I like that part. I get a picture of that, you know. Man. Hey, ain't nothing there. Yeah. And so here's Mary and Mary, you know, and it talks about the guards. They were like dead men, you know. Dead men. And so here they are. And the angel says to them, hey, I know you're looking for Jesus, but he ain't here. See, you can talk like that in Lafayette. He ain't here. That's what that angel said. He was from North Georgia. He ain't here. He said, I know you're looking for Jesus. You can look if you want to. He's not here. And he says, but he's risen just as he said. See, and that means that everything else that he said is true too. He said that you can live life and have it abundantly. He said you're more than a conqueror. He said there ain't nothing that can hold you back, not even death. See, he said that you are the head and not the tail, you're the top and not the bottom. He said he came to give you life and that more abundantly. So if he said he was going to rise from the dead and he rose from the dead, then everything else that he said is true as well. We serve a risen Savior, you see. Amen. He's risen as he said. Now here's your message. You go tell people. You go tell the disciples that he'll meet them in Galilee. See, he'll meet you somewhere. I want to tell you today. He's going to meet you. He's going to meet you somewhere. And this is what you should say. Oh man, this is powerful. I want to live my rest of my life with joy and wonder. And when you do, when you become a Christian, that's exactly how life becomes. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew 28:7. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and that he is going to Galilee to meet them there. That is my message to them. The women, deep in wonder and full of joy, lost no time in leaving the tomb. They ran to tell the disciples. See, God raised Jesus from the dead. That is what makes Christianity exciting. That is what today is about and every day is about. Jesus is not dead. What we preach is alive. What we say is alive. Our faith is alive. It's not meaningless and worthless. It is worth everything. It's an exciting experience to be a Christian. I want to tell you today. I want to encourage you. Listen. God loves you. He wants life to be exciting for you. What we're talking about is not worthless. What we're talking about is full of hope. God wants you to have a hope and a future. God has a great plan for your life. God wants you to do great things. He wants you to live life enthusiastically. He wants you to have a great life. He wants you to let Him open red seas for you. And when He does, He wants you to rejoice. He wants you to live a supernatural, abundant life. He'll move for you if you'll just be enthusiastic about what He does in your life. He'll continue to do them day after day after day. And every page that you turn in your life will be just as powerful and just as good as a new adventure in Jesus every day. He wants you to be like David. Take off those things that you think hold you back and separate you from being like everybody else and join in and be excited about God. You know, enjoy His presence. Enjoy His people. Enjoy getting others excited about Jesus. That's what David did. You know, be like Jesus and heal people. You know, you can do that because the Spirit of God now dwells in you. You can pray for people and you can get people healed. God wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you like He did that guy with the demon. He wants to deliver you from any bondage that you have. He wants to move in your heart. home and in your family. God's got great plans for you. He wants you to be excited about His kingdom. He wants you to come into His kingdom and find the joy of the Lord. He wants you to know that things are good. He doesn't want you to think that church is boring. He wants you to find a good church, a church where you can get excited and have fun and enjoy it and have a great time. You see, that's what He wants for you to, and come into His kingdom and be excited about finding it. He wants you to have a message to go and tell somebody that He's alive and that He'll meet them wherever they are. And whatever tree you're up or creek you're up or hole you find yourself in today, He wants to stop and talk to you. He wants to bless you. And He wants to go home with you and make your life exciting. Amen. How many people are excited about Jesus today? Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.